Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have just to open your word today. Father, I thank you that you will move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Father, this is a good time. Anytime we're in your word is a good time. We just praise you, Lord, that you would teach me that others may be taught. And for those of us who need conviction, Lord, I pray you will convict us. And for those of us who need comfort, you will comfort us. For Lord, you are God, and we love you. And thank you for giving us your word to tell us what it takes to please you. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, praise God. If you would turn to Revelation chapter 12, we're going to finish up chapter 12 today, but we have to go back. Some questions popped up, and there's been a lot of discussions on some of the things we talked about last week in the aspects of the fight that's in heaven between the good angels and the evil angels. So we want to go back, look at the scriptures, and get that cleared up, because I believe that the Bible is always the best commentary on the Bible. Amen? And if you have any questions about what the Bible is saying, then you just go to the scriptures and it'll clear it up. And we want to make sure we do that, especially about some has debated about this fight that we talked about last week. And some says that this fight in Revelation chapter 12, they believe has already taken place. So we need to get that cleared up, because if it has not taken place, then I could preach what I taught last week. If it has already taken place, I was wrong about what I taught last week. So we got to make sure that your pastor is correct when he opens the word. And if the pastor's ever proven wrong, amen, just throw the pastor away. You keep the word. All right, let's pray. I mean, I've already prayed, haven't I? Man, we want to pray about keeping the pastor. Is that what it is? Get off that now. Let's go here. No. All right, and what we're doing right now is we're going into the seventh trumpet. All right? The seventh trumpet is going to lead us into the third woe. We've already gone over two woes. The third woe is going to last for 3.5 years. The third woe, the seventh trumpet, simultaneous with the seven bowls. Okay? The seven bowls is going to last for 3.5 years. It's going to be God turning loose, proving his reign. And as he proved that he is going to reign, that means Satan is going to lose his reign. When Satan finds out that we established last week, he's going to lose his reign and he's going to be thrown out of heaven. There's going to be some serious things going on when he hits the earth. And we need to understand that as we go through the scriptures, and understand that if we can see the devastation that's going to take place on the earth the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, there is no one we should be afraid to witness to. There's no one that we should be afraid to make mad at us, because we are witnessing to them. Because if they understand what they're going through, if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why it's Revelation, no S on it, singular, talking about Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. They're going to know why you are taking such a bold step, even though you may make them mad, because you don't even want your enemies to live in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. It is amazing. We're going to go over and look at some other verses to prove the point that we dealt with. And in order to do that, let's catch up with where we already are. We're going to sprint through the first part of chapter 12 again, and we're going to start reproving what we need to prove when we hit verse 7. Verse 1, chapter 12, book of Revelation. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain, to be delivered. We've already established that the woman is Israel. It's not some others, as others have tried to teach, a particular person or a particular woman. It is the nation of Israel. The child that was brought forth by that woman is the revelation himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, during that time of birth, giving birth to the flesh of God himself. Rome was in control, the fourth world dominating power of that day, and they tried to eliminate Israel by Roman control. Every one of these things that is happening is Satan's way of destroying God's final power and control. We're talking about the fifth world kingdom that is coming, led by the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why there will not be a sixth world kingdom is because the first four kingdoms led by one leader, Satan himself, will be destroyed and taken power from him when Christ comes back this time. Amen? Verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. That's my English accent. A dragon. Otherwise known as Satan, the devil. Having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now we have to really understand this whole aspect of the fight, what's going on, who Satan is, who the angels are. Satan was such a strong deceiver. Remember, he took a third of all the angels out of heaven with him. If he can pull a third of the angels out of heaven, we've already established, what can he do to mere man that is not owned and protected and led by God? He is the great deceiver. Now, it's very important to understand this fight that's going on and who is participating in this fight and who it is. According on what religion you have been raised in, you can have some very bad ideas or some very bad teaching about these angels and who they are. If you are under or have been under Mormon influence, your understanding of these passages is very, very, very different than what the Bible teaches. In Mormon belief, there is a belief that Satan and Jesus Christ are brothers. You understand that, right? Satan and Jesus Christ are brothers. And when there came time to save the world, Jesus came up with a plan and Satan came up with a plan. Jesus' plan was accepted to the Mormon belief. Satan's plan was rejected. And because his plan was rejected, there was a great war in heaven. That's why you see the difference in teaching oftentimes. Brother rebelled against brother's plan. All the angels that joined Satan in the fight and lost, according to their doctrine, became demons. All the angels that joined Jesus Christ and won became the white race. You got to understand that that's their biblical teaching. All the angels that stood neutral and did not join any side became the black race, and that's why for years they wouldn't allow blacks to enter the priesthood, because the darker you were, the more sin you had. Now, that is just the teaching of that religion. You have to understand that. So when one religion says and talks about Jesus Christ, just because they say Jesus don't mean it's the Jesus of the Bible. So your understanding of who this is very important as we go through this. Amen. Now, as we get down through the great dragon, verse 5 and 6, and she brought forth a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God. We're going to talk about this in the latter part of chapter 12. After we prove the point here about this fight, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,360 days is 1,260 days, 3.5 years or 42 months, any way you want to break it down. Thus we already immediately know that this passage in chapter 12 is talking about the middle of the tribulation period that's going to take place when God raptures the church out of here. The tribulation period starts, lasts for 7 years. The first 3.5 years is bad, but the last 3.5 years is woe on woe on top of woe, 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 woe. And that's one place you don't want to be in, a woe, 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 woe place. Amen. All right. Now, this is where we get into where someone may want to challenge the pastor. So, you know, we got to go back to the word to make sure that the pastor is teaching correctly. Now, many go to Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 1. If you do not know what Genesis chapter 1 is, go as far as you can to the left of your Bible, then start right. You'll run right into it very quickly. Genesis chapter 1. Many believe that the fight in Revelation chapter 12 that we've talked about has already taken place. If it has already taken place, they got to find out where it has been taken place. Many believe that that fight took place in what is called the gap theory. What is the gap theory? The gap theory is the gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Read with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. Now, most people teach now that when God creates, he does not create null, void, and formless. So they say when he created in verse 1, something happened between verse 1 and verse 2 for the world to look the way it does in verse 2. This is also where you would get this theory taught from theological evolutionists. Theological evolutionists is those that believe that God started it, basically, and evolution took over so that science and God don't contradict themselves. I think Dobson is a strong believer in that. He's a theological evolutionist, where he believes that evolution has taken millions of years and God started it, so there's no contradiction. I got a problem with anyone that believes that, because God and science can't contradict itself. Themselves. Science is just wrong. Can't hear it. Amen. Now, see, that's the way I look at it. So when you got the gap theory, they believe that there was many years of possibility, millions of years between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, and that's how they justify creation and evolution together. And that's where they believe the fight took place and Satan was thrown out. And that where in Isaiah chapter 14, I believe, and in Ezekiel chapter 28, you'll find out where God talks to Satan and kicks him out because of his belief. Now, I believe there are two fights that went on. One fight was when Satan rebelled and said, I want to be like God. God says, you do you. I don't think so. And he was dismissed from his position. But he was also given the permission to continue to come to heaven. And up until this very day, he continues to have the right to come to heaven. Now, we're going to have to break that down. Go back to Revelation chapter 12. Let's look at this so that we can really prove to you what the Bible teaches, not what I think or what anyone else thinks. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. Amen. And said, after that fight took place, verse 8, Satan did not prevail, he fell, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Here in the fight in Revelation chapter 12, it says that Satan was thrown out. Not only was he defeated, but he was thrown out of heaven, never to enter heaven again. Now, we've already established that if it's going to be a fight in heaven between good and evil, you can imagine the fights is going to go between good and evil on this earth. The biggest problem with most Christians and most churches today, we think fighting is ungodly. If it is motivated by your wants, your lusts, and your desires, it is. If you're standing for God and right, I don't care who you offend. God has not called us to be sensitive to wrong. God has called us to be righteous. And when we are righteous, anyone that's sinning is going to think you're insensitive.
You hear me? No. Talk to the pastor. Encourage the pastor.
You guys must be Eastsiders. Ooh. That's going to be a serious battle between good and evil. If you're married and want to live a Christian life in your home, guess what? There's going to be fights between good and evil. If you're in a church that want to be righteous, there's going to be fights between good and evil. There's going to be fights in the church office. Because there's going to be good and evil in there. If you don't want fights, don't live a righteous life. Then you're just condemned. Amen, sister. All right. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels was cast out also with him. Now, let's break it down. If this fight took place when Satan was first kicked out and did not and could not enter heaven, the Bible contradicts itself. I am up for no doctrine that makes the Bible contradict itself. Can't hear you. Now we can go through and we're going to prove to you without a shadow of a doubt that Satan has fallen. Satan has been kicked out from his righteous place, his position of being a god of of worship, leading the most powerful angel in all of heaven. And that he was cast out, but he still has permission to come to heaven. Because if it has already taken place, the fight in Revelation 12, this Bible here lies. Turn with me to Job. Now, when I first became a Christian, I stayed in the book of Job. I read Job all the time because I needed one. Amen. I used to read a palm a day, too. I didn't know the P was silent. Amen. I used to go by and read, see them palm readers and laugh at them because they spelled it wrong. And then I realized it is Psalms, Pastor. And then I dropped, and I no longer had the P pneumonia either. Some of you get that on the way home. Watch this. In the book of Job, we ready? Are we ready? Okay. Now, I got some good news for you in these verses, and I got some bad news for you in these verses. Amen. And if you're going to come to church here, you're going to get the whole story. The truth. T-R-U-F-F. Okay. Now, verse 6, Job chapter 1. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along among them. Who is the sons of God? The angels. The unfallen angels. There was a day when the sons of God came to give their staff report. And who came with them? Satan. Now, I got a question for you. Where is God? In heaven. The angels come to heaven to give their report to God. Who goes to heaven with the angels when they give their report in the book of Job? Satan comes. Now, if the fight has already taken place, he wouldn't be able to come to heaven and have this conversation. No. That was a courtesy amen. Amen. Now check this out. And the Lord said unto Satan, where you been, boy? That's the Hutchinson International Version. That's pretty good, eh? Oh, I like that. What's up? What you been doing? Satan said, well, you know, I've been going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Now, where does Satan say he's been? The earth. If he has been to the earth walking up and down and to and fro, where is he now having a conversation with God? In heaven. Thus, the fight that's going to take place in Revelation chapter 12 to kick him out permanently hasn't taken place yet. Now, why is it going to get worse? And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Who brought Job's name up? God. Now, I don't know if I was Job, I'd be like this. Ta! You mind leaving my name out of this? Can't hear you. See, you don't go around bragging to Satan about someone God's proud of. Because you know they are enemies. So if you want to hurt somebody that you don't like, hurt someone they like. Have you considered my servant Job? You can just see him, can't you? Yeah, I get a little sick and tired, folks, of many of our charismatic brothers and those of you who believe in a lot of their teaching about health, wealth, believe and receive. And a lot of you who have been taught and hadn't got in the scriptures that a lot of sickness and bad things happen to you because it's God's plan to show the world his trophies, not because of your sin. Can't hear you, folks. If you're going through some bad things because of sin, you know what to do. Get rid of it and confess it. But if you're going through things because you are righteous, all amount of faith in all the world is not going to get you out of it, because God has some trophies called you and me. And oftentimes he got us on the shelf and we are polished and we are shining. And God says, I want to show you off. And how he shows us off is for people to see us shine even when things go bad. But the majority of the time when God tries to show us off, we whine. We don't shine. Stupid, the pastor was rhyming. Man, that was good night. I think I like me. Now check this out. Now, here we go. Watch this. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you checked out my boy Joe? There's none like him. He's a perfect man. He's an upright man. He fears me. And he's going to run from evil. Now, that's God bragging about somebody. Satan said, well, you know, you done put a hedge around my boy. How does Satan know there's a hedge around Job? Anybody want to tell me how does Satan know there's a hedge around Job? Because he's been trying to get through it. He don't like anybody God likes. And even those that don't belong to God, if you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you belong to Satan. I want to tell you something. You're owned by someone that don't like you very much. And I'm not a fae-bata, yeah, that big old word that means you're smart. Phi Beta Kappa. Yeah, I may not be a Phi Beta Kappa, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to turn my life over to someone that don't like me and wants to destroy me. A lot of women has done that to a husband. Is it any fun, girls? To be married to someone that don't love you? That wants to destroy you and have an excuse to leave you? Or vice versa, husbands? Is it any fun to have someone that don't love you? Find everything wrong with you and then have an excuse to try to leave you? I'm going to give you a secret. What a husband or wife can do that don't love you is nothing compared to what Satan can do who don't love you if you don't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you like Job, huh? I can take care of Job. You just pull your protection away from him and you curse him and he will turn and curse you to your face. Ooh, the accuser. Amen. Look what God said. God said, well, you can do anything you want with what he has, but you can't touch him. Now, the good news is Satan can't touch you without God's permission. Amen, church. Amen. That's some good news. Now, the bad news is God gives him permission. Can't hear you. I shouldn't enjoy that too much. Amen. So Satan goes down and destroys everything Satan has. Kills his children. Job has. Kills his children. Kills all of his farm animals. Everything. Wipes them out. But it didn't touch him. Look at chapter 2, book of Job. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. He done made two trips. Now, if the fight had taken place in Revelation 12, why is he taking another trip to heaven? Some tells me that somebody's thinking is wrong who teaches that fight has already taken place. It hadn't taken place yet, and he still has the right to go. Check this out. Second conversation. And the Lord said to Satan, from where did you come from? He said, oh, you know. Now, why? You know, God asking Job. He's not asking to get an answer. God is just like parents. why did we send our kids up to lie to us in the first place? Can't hear you. One kid in the room, one broken lamp, and we with this intelligent walk in and says, who broke that lamp? The kids are thinking, I'm dealing with a dog. Who broke that lamp? The dog. We help our kids come up with lies. Amen. The question you ought to ask is, why did you break that lamp? The devil? Nobody likes him anyway. Amen. Just blame him. Then you can discipline them because they're just a flat out lie. And then God said, again, have you considered my boy? Oh, Job, can you imagine? Now, Job just got whipped on so bad. And you're bringing my name up again. What's up? What did God say? He answered Satan. Satan said, oh yeah, you let everything remove, but you remove your protection from it and let me touch his body. Skin for skin, he will turn and he will curse you in your face. And God says, I tell you what, you can do anything you want to him, you just can't kill him. Listen to this, verse 7, chapter 2 of Job. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from that presence of the Lord and smote Job with sores and boils from the sole of his foot to the top of his head. And he took a potsherd with which to scrape himself, and he sat down among the ashes, went and sat on top of a dung heap to scrape the sores off his body. I'm going to ask you a question. Did Job do anything as far as sin is concerned to do and to get this? Nothing. God has a plan, even if it makes you the most uncomfortable, sore, full of sores, unsorted type of individual in all the world to the world. God has a plan, and he wants someone to see his trophy shine. Some of you are going, what kind of God is this? I'm going to tell you what kind of God it is. He'd rather see you shine and lead others to him than to leave you in the hands of Satan and see you burn. Now, you tell me if that's not a loving God, if you get out of your temporal thinking. Can I get a witness? Amen. I'm telling you, we're having fun today, aren't we? And then, here we go. Verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, are you trying to keep your integrity? Won't you curse God and die? Now, the one that Satan should have killed in this family. Some of you going, Pastor, well, how would you like to be encouraged when things are down like this? And some of our worst encouragers, man, when things are bad, is family. I told you not to do it, didn't I? Have you ever wondered? God said you can kill everybody in the family when he first turned loose, but he didn't kill his wife. Now, I think it's for one or two reasons. Number one, Satan knew that she was on his side. That's number one. Or the one that is more biblical, they're one flesh. If you can't touch Job, you can't touch his wife because they're one flesh. It's a shame, isn't it, that the church don't think that way anymore? This is my money. I'm married. Now, you're married. Amen. I said, I will. I do. This is my money. This is my life. You can't tell me what to do. I go out who I want to go out with. If I want to go out with the girls, I go out with the girls. Let me tell you something. I was a man before I married you. I'm going to be a man after I married you. And if I want to hang out with the boys, I'm going to hang out with the boys. Can't hear you. You weren't, didn't have guts enough to say that before you was married, did you? I believe the reason why he didn't touch his wife is because they're one flesh. That's how God sees it, and that's how Satan sees it. Too bad humans don't see it that way. He said, now, wait a minute, hold on. You talk like a foolish woman. Verse 10. Shall we receive good from the hands of God and not receive evil things? And all this Job did not sin with his mouth against the Lord. I can't hear you, church. I believe with all my heart that this proves one thing, and that is the fight didn't take place before, at the beginning of the fall of Satan. That was kicked out. He was kicked out of heaven and lost his position, but he did not lose access to heaven. Access from heaven, that fight is still pending in the tribulation period that will take place in Revelation chapter 12. Turn with me back to chapter 12 or the book of Revelation, please. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, Genesis chapter 3, you can see what the old serpent was. Satan entered into the snake, deceived Eve. Now, isn't it amazing that from the very beginning, Satan's plans, because he had been cast down, has been to move God's plan against Israel. Because if he can move God's plan in any way, he wins. And he has tried it with four world kingdoms to destroy God's plan. Because he is a defeated foe and he hates anything God wants. And one of the things that God wants, my friends, is you. He died for you. And if he wants you, Satan wants you dead before he gets you. That called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice. This verse here that tells us, folks, 10 says that we know we're going to win because of the coming Messiah, the revelation himself. Verse 11 says we win because of the blood of the Lamb of God. We win. Woo, my goodness, check this out. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, my heavens, and you that dwell in them. Why? He says because Satan at this time has been cast out of heaven. His demons has been cast out of heaven. And I want to tell you something, folks. He said the reason why heaven is so good at this time is because of the absence of Satan and his demons. Now, if heaven is that good because Satan is cast out, what do you think the world's going to be like? Because he's still here. Folks, if you're living in this world and you got a Christian home, you're going to have fight between good and evil. Because he's still the king of this world. God's not going to take that over until the Great War. Armageddon. And then it says, but woe. Look at it. This is the third woe. The seventh trumpet and the seven bowls that's coming, going to last 3.5 years. He says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because when the devil hits the earth after he's cast out, he is mad. He has great wrath that's coming. And he's going to get up, and the first thing he's going to go after is the woman. Look at verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, He persecuted the woman who brought forth the male child. He said, the first thing I'm going to do is go after the one who's going to defeat me, who brought the Christ in the world. It's the nation of Israel. I want to kill it. And God is, and the God of this world, Satan, has gone after Israel since day one. Folks, let me give you a secret. God says, he who blessed Israel will be blessed. He didn't say that Israel got to be Christians. Oh, no, no, I can't hear that. Now, what did God say about Israel? Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. Why? Because that is his chosen people, and they are blessed because they are the one who brought the Messiah who has saved us all. Can't hear you. And he's going to hit the ground. Folks, I'm going to give you a secret. I mean, sometimes we hear people talking, and we just get tired of history about the Jewish people, don't we? I'm so sick and tired of hearing about the Holocaust. Can't hear you. Oh, we hear that all the time, man. People say, let me give you a secret. God didn't ask your opinion. This has nothing to do with just war on the earth, folks. This is a battle between God and Satan, good and evil. And do you think the Holocaust was bad? It ain't nothing compared to what's going to happen in Revelation chapter 12. You better multiply the Holocaust like it's going out of style. Because when he hits the ground, he says, I know I only got a short time left. I got 3.5 years, and either God's going to win or I'm going to win. And he's going to turn the heat up to try to destroy the woman who brought Christ in the world. And he's going to go after her. And the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle. That doesn't mean that Israel starts looking like a bird now. Amen. It means Israel's going to be given the strength to flee from Jerusalem, where the Antichrist is going to rise up. We'll get into that in chapter 13. Just as God the Father, hold on to your hat. Just as God the Father took all of his glory and strength, which was in his son in the flesh, Satan going to choose his son. And he's going to put all of his power and all of his glory and all of his magic and all of his deception into this one person on the earth, like God did with his son. He's always trying to substitute what God has done. Watch this. He's going to give her strength to flee, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time. That's broken down means on the face of the earth. And she's going to run from the serpent for 3.5 years, 42 months, or 1,260 days. That's why we know Revelation chapter 12 is in the middle future of the tribulation period that starts the great tribulation, which means Satan turns all of his power over to the beast. That's 2 beasts that we're going to find out about when we go through Revelation here in the 7 bowls. Look at this, verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth waters like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Folks, I don't think this is a literal flood. Some try to translate this as a literal flood. What I mean, and I think it is Satan is going to turn loose a campaign against the nation of Israel like never before. And he's going to try to substitute. Remember, he's going to try to do the same thing God's going to do. What is God doing? He is turning one campaign after another campaign after another campaign after another campaign for all those that don't belong to him, so he can break the world's back and then take over. What's Satan going to do? He's going to do the same thing. He's going to send one campaign after another campaign after another campaign, try to destroy the woman, the nation of Israel. And it says the earth, the world, rose up and opened her mouth and swallowed the waters that Satan sent. That is an analogy of this. Every time Satan thinks he's got it won, the earth's going to rise up with nature and kill his campaign. Just as he gets the people maybe cornered somewhere and he thinks he's going to find out where most of them are in the wilderness, God may send a windstorm. Blow sand in front of the soldiers' faces and they're going to escape. I don't know what it's going to be, but God said, I'm going to make the earth swallow up his plan just so he knows what? The seventh trumpet. Who's in control of the world now when God moves into the seventh trumpet and the seven bowls begin? God is. And Satan, who's been over the world all this time, is going to rebel against him. It's going to make it matter. That's what happens when you've been spoiled. When you can't get your way, you throw temper tantrums. Can't hear you. Amen. Check this out. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was angry at the woman. And he says, all right, I can't kill the woman. I'm going to kill the remnant of the woman. That's believers that have become Christians during the tribulation period. And Satan says, now I'm going to turn my attention on any believer. That's a lie. You know, two lies that Satan has convinced you. Number one, if you're here today and you never accepted Jesus Christ, and you say, well, if I see these things happening, I'm going to come to know the Lord. God says you're not going to have an opportunity to. If you don't accept now, your heart's going to be hard and you won't be able to believe. That's number one. Number two, even if you have never heard and become a believer during the tribulation period, it ain't going to be easy. Because the one of this world is going to want to kill you. He's going to be worse than hot sauce. Can't hear you, folks. If you're not a Christian today and you don't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in a perfect position to be blasted by Satan himself. As for me and my house, give me protection. Amen. I may think I'm brave, but I ain't that brave. I may think I'm bad, but I ain't that bad. I may think I'm rich, but I ain't that rich. Praise be to God, I am inside the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He'll protect me, and I'm going to be up during this period of the 7 years having the Feast of the Lamb. Barbecue ribs. Ooh. Even the Jewish believer is going to be able to eat pork during that time. Amen. Shouldn't get too excited. Amen. Okay. Oh, he's going to make war against the remnant of her seed who keep the commandments of God, believers, and have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of talk about believers going to be protected in the tribulation period. Not according to these verses. The 144,000 will. We'll talk about them just briefly in chapter 14. But the question you got to answer is this. Are you really walking with God? Do you know who you belong to? And do you understand what's coming? Then don't be afraid to warn others. That's our job as the ambassadors and the embassies to the fifth world dominating kingdom that's coming. When I walk in and deal with people, believers or unbelievers, I only want to know one thing. You tell me, is it going to be civil? Or it's going to be hostile. Because I'm on the winning side. And I got all the boldness in the world. Because I have read the last chapter. I have cheated. I know the end of the story. The last touchdown is going to be made by us. And we win. Amen. Don't be afraid to spread the gospel. For it's a power unto salvation for those that believe. Amen? I'm happy to be on God's team. Can you tell? I am happy. I mean, all my life, we've looked at winning, being on the winning team, and then we find out we're on the winning team and we want to keep it to ourselves. You know, if you get a raise, you'll brag about that. You get a new house, you don't want to hide it. You want to invite friends over to make them jealous. You got the president coming to your house. I guarantee you, you wouldn't keep it quiet. You'd let it slip out about 30 times. Oh, we got the president coming to our house. But you got God living with you. And you're ashamed of it. Something is wrong with that picture. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is final. Amen. Have a great day.